Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 1, Text 31, translation and commentary by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Kshemam saha kachit yuyudhanaha aste yaha palgunat labdha dhanuhu rahasyaha lebhe anjasa adhokshaja sevaya eva gatim tadiyam yatibihi durapam kshemang sakachit yuyudhana aste yaf palguna labdha dhanu rahasyaha lebhenja sadhokshaja seva yaiva Gating tadiyang yati bhir durapam Kshemang sakachit yuyudhana aste Yah palguna labdha dhanu rahasyaha Lebhenja sadhokshaja sevayaiva Gating tadiyang yati bhir durapam
Yeah, I'll love that.
Ladies. Kshemam, all good. Saha, he, kachit, whether. Yuyudhanaha, satyaki, aste, is there. Yaha, one who, palgunat, from Arjuna, labdha, has achieved. Dhanuhu, rahasyaha, one who understands the intricacies of military art. Lebhe, also achieved. Anjasa, summarily. Adhokshaja, of the transcendence. Sevaya, by service. Eva, certainly. Gatim, destination. Tadiyam, transcendental. Yati bhihi, by great renouncers. Durapam, very difficult to achieve. O Uddhava, does Yuyudhana fare well? He learned the intricacies of the military art from Arjuna and attained the transcendental destination, which is very difficult to reach even for great renouncers. Purport. The destination of transcendence is to become the personal associate of the Personality of Godhead, who is known as Adhokshaja, he who is beyond the reach of the senses. The renouncers of the world, the sannyasis, give up all worldly connections, namely family, wife, children, friends, home, wealth, everything, to attain the transcendental bliss of Brahman happiness. But Adhokshaja happiness is beyond Brahman happiness. The empiric philosophers enjoy a transcendental quality of bliss by philosophical speculation on the Supreme Truth. But beyond that pleasure is the pleasure enjoyed by Brahman in his eternal form of the Personality of Godhead. Brahman bliss is enjoyed by living entities after liberation from material bondage. But Parabrahman, the Personality of Godhead, enjoys eternally a bliss of his own potency, which is called the Hladini potency. The empiric philosopher who studies Brahman by negation of the external features has not yet learned the quality of the Hladini potency of Brahman. Out of many potencies of the omnipotent, there are three features of his internal potency, namely Sangvit, Sandhini, and Hladini. And in spite of their strict adherence to the principles of Yama, Niyama, Asana, Dhyana, Dharana, and Pranayama, the great yogis and jnanis are unable to enter into the internal potency of the Lord. This internal potency is, however, easily realized by the devotees of the Lord by dint of devotional service. Yuyudhana achieved this stage of life just as he achieved expert knowledge in military science from Arjuna. Thus his life was successful to the fullest extent from both the material and spiritual angles of vision. That is the way of devotional service to the Lord. Agnanitimirandhasya gyananjana shalakaya chakshurun militam yena tasmai shri guruve namaha namasreshtam manum api shachiputram atrasvarupam Rupam tasya agrajam urupurim maturim goshtavartim Radha Kundam Girivaramaho Radhika Madhava Sham Prabto Yasya Pratita Kripaya Shri Gurum Tam Natosmi. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Atav Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavangscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagarna Raghunatan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Taitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagarna Lalita Shri Vishaka Guru Vaishnav Bhagavan Tine Smarane Hoy Bigna Binashan Anayashi Hoy Nijavan Tita Puran Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. This chapter is entitled Questions by Vidura, and the questions are many of them about different personalities, associates of Krishna. The whole Bhagavatam unfolds in questions and answers, mostly on philosophical topics or topics concerning the pastimes of the Supreme Lord. But the questions in this section is asking about various personalities among the Yadavas, the personal associates of Krishna, in Dwaraka. There are a huge number of Yadavas, among whom some are very prominent, and we're getting to hear their names one by one as we go through this section of Bhagavatam. Here, Yuyudhana is mentioned. He's better known as Satyaki. It's another name. You'll find that great personalities, they have several names in Vedic culture. Krishna himself in Gita is addressed by Arjuna by so many different names. Madhava, Govinda, Achyuta, and Krishna addresses Arjuna, and of course Krishna, and Hrishikesh, and then Krishna addresses Arjuna as Arjuna, Mahabaho, Konteya, Parantapa, Gurakesh, Pandava, various names. So Satyaki is the better known name. He is mentioned in Bhagavad Gita twice, not by Bhagavan, once by Duryodhana, at the beginning when Duryodhana is pointing out the army of the Pandavas to Bhishma. Atrashura Maheshvasa, I wrote it down because I thought I'd forget it. Atrashura Maheshvasa Bhimajuna Samayudhihi Yuyudhana Viratascha Drupadascha Maharataha. He's pointing out the name. Here, Atra, are many great warriors who are equal to Bhima and Arjuna. Naturally, when looking at the forces of the opposite side, Bhima and Arjuna were taken especially into account. They're the most powerful. Not Krishna, because Krishna had vowed not to fight. So the first who is mentioned among them all is Yuyudhan, and then Virata, who's not such a big warrior. He was killed practically at the beginning. Virat and Drupada, the sons, Drupada himself. And then just a little later, we find in the same chapter, the opening chapter of Bhagavad Gita, that Sanjaya describes Satyakis Chaparajita, that Satyaki, who is unbeaten by others, he's undefeated by others. And in the battle of Kurukshetra, he was a big fighter. So he had so many fights with big warriors on the Kaurava side. Practically all the major warriors he fought with during the course of the battle, with Bhishma and Drona and Karna, Duryodhana, Burishrava. I'll speak about that a little later. But he's a Burishrava. You may not know the name so much, but he's a big person on the Kurukshetra battlefield, and others. But even though he defeated them, most of them, and he did get himself once thrashed by Karna, then he became Parajit, defeated by another. But he fought with all these big fighters, and he bested them, but he didn't kill them. Normally, in a battle, if you defeat someone, you kill them. But he didn't, because Karna was left for Arjuna. Arjuna had vowed to kill Karna. And the Duryodhana and the sons, the other sons of Dhritarashtra, they were all left for Bhima. That's his own personal property, or his own personal vow to kill them all. And Karna, Arjuna, and Bhishma and Drona, they also had their fates set up in advance. They are to be killed by certain persons, by Shikhandi and Drishtadyumna. So I guess there wasn't much fun left for all the other fighters. all the big ones already had their names marked by others. So Satyaki, a very major figure in Krishna's pastimes in Dwaraka. He's a Yadava, so it means he's related to Krishna. And he was with Krishna. He was the commander-in-chief of, not directly of Krishna's forces, because Krishna's forces went to fight on the other side, on the Kaurava side, which is why Kritavarma, who was also a Yadava, he was the head of Krishna's forces. So they ended up on opposite sides, which had major repercussions. Yeah, he also fought with Kritavarma in the Kurukshetra battle. That had major repercussions, which I'll speak about also. But he was, apart from Krishna's own personal forces, there were the forces of the Dwaraka Yadavas, and he was the head of them, and sometimes he would drive Krishna's chariot. He was an expert charioteer. Generally the Kshatriyas, they're expert in chariot driving also, although it's not their job to do so. It's the job of the chariot drivers. There's a caste, it's called Suta. Chariot drivers, we see Karna is often refers to insultingly by Arjuna in Bhagavad Gita also as Suta Putra, the son of a chariot driver. It's in, because it's a Shudra caste, but the Kshatriyas also had to know, just in case in the middle of the battle their chariot driver got killed, which you'll see from hearing about the battles mentioned in Bhagavatam in Mahabharata. A common ploy is to, before even trying to kill the warrior on a chariot, the rathi, is to kill his horses and his chariot driver, which puts the chariot driver in a difficult, the chariot passenger, the fighter, in a difficult situation. So Satyaki also, when his chariot driver was killed, I don't remember by who, then he also drove his own chariot. So he was very expert in that, and sometimes he took the service of driving Krishna, not in the Kurukshetra battle. Generally at the Swayamvaras, the ceremony when Kshatriya or girls, they choose their own husband. There's a fight. Generally, there's a fight. It's practically expected. When kshatriyas come together, it can be expected there'll be a fight. And when brahmanas get together, often also there's a fight. There'll be a verbal fight. And kshatriyas get together, then there's often a fight. So Devaki had her swayamvara. Swayamvara means literally that you choose your own husband. But generally it would be seen that she could choose her own husband, but often some test would be given also to see who's the most accomplished and manly. And there are many such instances. We find, for instance, with Draupadi, that the test was there, that was a test of skill and strength to even pick up the bow in the first place, and tremendous skill to be able to hit the target, the eye of the fish with Sita Devi, the bow of Lord Shiva had to be strung, even to string it. Most kshatriyas, princes, they couldn't even string it. Ram did so very easily, Ram Bhagavan. So Devaki, she was having a swayamvara, and a fight broke out between Somadatta, who is the son of Balika, and Shini, who is the uncle of Vasudev. And you'll find in Mahabharata there is very intricate plot, unlike Ramayana. It's nothing so intricate. And the things happen even in one life which has reckoning in the next life. And here you'll find that Shini defeated Somadatta and he humiliated him by defeating him, but then he kicked him in front of everyone. And that's a huge humiliation for a kshatriya. So then Somadatta performed severe tapasya, austerity, in order to get a son who would avenge this humiliation. And this will all come up decades later in the Mahabharata war. We say the Mahabharata war, it's a battle actually, and there's so many battles in Mahabharata, but when we say Mahabharata war, we generally mean the Kurukshetra war. So many years later, Shini's son, Satyak, had a son named Yuyodhana, who is more commonly referred to as Satyaki, being the son of Satyaka. So in this way, Satyaki was a cousin of Krishna. I don't know exactly the English term, but it's one removed, I think it's called. Cousin once removed or something like this. And he was related to the Pandavas also. Here it's stated in this verse we read today that he learned the military art from Arjuna. He first learned from Drona, and then for higher studies went to Arjuna, who was also, of course, a disciple, military disciple of Drona. But Arjuna, he became by far the most accomplished warrior of his generation by being given many celestial weapons along with the knowledge of how to use them. So in that sense, he surpassed his own guru. Satyaki learned from Arjuna, and he was always very close with Krishna. Whenever Krishna would go out to fight, or just out on any expedition, which means generally when a kshatriya goes out somewhere, there's going to be some fighting. So Satyaki would accompany him. He was there when Krishna, Bhima and Arjuna went to Magad to see Jarasandha. When Krishna went to Indraloka for getting the, well, he went to get the Parijata tree, so Satyaki was there also. And he was very close, as Krishna was, he was very close to the Pandavas also. All the Yadavas were close to the Pandavas because Krishna was close to them. And they all loved the Pandavas because Krishna loved them. And Satyaki accompanied Krishna to the funeral ceremony, you could say, or the ceremony of grief after the five Pandavas and Kunti were all burned to death. Of course, they weren't burned to death, but it was presumed that they had burned to death. It appeared like that. Satyaki was, in terms of what they would call nowadays defense policy, which means aggression in most cases, in Orwellian language, defense policy. He was a hawk, not a dove. He believed in aggression more than diplomacy. Krishna actually was trying for diplomacy before the battle took place, but Satyaki was all that. He was pushing for fighting. Even when the Pandavas were preparing to go into exile, Satyaki came to Yudhishthira and said, "Hey, what is this? You're going to go into exile for 12 years? Forget it. Come on. We've got all the Yadavas. Let's just attack Duryodhana and kill them all and finish it off now." Of course, that wasn't Krishna's plan. He had another plan. He wanted the battle to be delayed so that the more kings could be killed, and also so that the anger, especially Bhima's anger, right at that very moment when Draupadi was insulted, then Bhima could have, just by his anger with his bare hands, he could have and wanted to kill all these sons of Dhritarashtra on the spot. Generally, someone's anger declines, it cools down after a little bit. We all have this experience, unless some of you never got angry, which I doubt. But with Bhima, it was just increasing at every moment, and 13 years. Was he happy when he got onto that battlefield? He'd be the moment he'd been waiting for, especially when he came in front of Dushasana, and then again in front of Duryodhana. He was just, for 13 years, he'd been meditating on this, and this moment. So, when the 13 years were over, and what's going to happen now? It was thought that the idea was that the Pandavas would be in exile, and during that time they'd lose all their support from the public and from other kings, and during that time Duryodhana would solidify his own support. And then the 1 year incognito, they could get caught, and then they have to go back again to the forest. And how are you going to hide five Pandavas? It's like in they just had this, what do they call that, Sadhu Sangha retreat. And just say if Indrajumna Swami and Radhana Swami are there, how are you going to hide them? How could they be there incognito? It's impossible. They're the big figures, right, in the whole assembly. So in the same way, in the whole world, the five Pandavas are very prominent people. If the President of the United States just, or even more, the last President of the United States, if he just started walking around on the streets of Atlanta, how could he go unrecognized? He's such a prominent, well-known figure. Kshatriyas in general, it's hard to hide them because they're huge, strong-bodied, and they have commanding features, commanding voices. Jarasandha noted that when Krishna and Bhima and Arjuna came to see him in the guise of brahmanas, he thought, they're not like brahmanas. They're big and tall and strong, and they have marks of the quiver on their shoulders, and they speak with deep, grave, commanding voices. And I think I saw them somewhere before. Then Krishna said, actually, we're not brahmanas. This is Bhima, this is Arjuna, and I am your enemy, Krishna. He specifically used that word. I'm your old enemy, Krishna. So it was presumed that the Pandavas, they wouldn't get through, even if they got through 12 years, and then how could they go 1 year incognito? But they did. And then there was, the question arose. Shakuni and Duryodhana and Karna, these were like the inner core of the plotters, guided by Shakuni. They thought that then we wouldn't have to give the kingdom back, because the whole point was that Duryodhana had unfairly usurped the kingdom. So, okay, 13 years over, they've done what they were supposed to do, and now what? Now Yudhishthira has to ask for the kingdom, Duryodhana is not going to give it. And so then what happens next? Duryodhana is calling his bluff. What will happen next? There has to be a fight. But that was not sure. Wasn't sure if there's going to be a fight. You can't. There were different arguments. Mostly all of the members of the Pandava side were saying, well, we have to fight. But some didn't. And so some wanted to fight immediately. Satyaki, that's the point. He said, okay, let's fight. There's nothing else. He was right. Okay, let's get into it. Let's fight. But others were saying, no, we should try first some. We should fight. After trying, there's samabheda dana danda. There's, first of all, you try to pacify people, then do some politics and try to divide your opposition. Then you give them some inducement, and if all of those things don't work, then you fight. So Krishna said, well, at least we should try and have some peace negotiations. But Satyaki wasn't into it. He was like, let's go right away. Let's get into it. Balaram also was trying, he was very much trying to avoid the fighting because he had a soft spot for Duryodhana, although he understood actually it couldn't be avoided on any grounds, political grounds, dharmic grounds, emotional grounds. But Satyaki, when Balaram was all the time, let's just leave it, and then, or maybe you could just go on somehow. But Satyaki got very angry at Balaram. These things go on in the spiritual dimension. So Satyaki became very angry and said, no, the only way is to fight. There's no other way. And Balaram is saying, yeah, but then know, victory is not assured, and then all the Kshatriyas will be killed, as Arjuna also said at the beginning of Bhagavad Gita. It'll be a disaster for the whole world. It's something like if there's to be a war between China and America, try to avoid it, because it'll be a disaster for the whole world, that both sides have got such military might that no one will be the winner. It'll be disaster for everyone. But Satyaki, he was, no, we have to fight. It's the only way left. We're Kshatriyas. We have to fight. Do or die. Then eventually it was resolved that, okay, Krishna will go as an envoy to try to sue for peace. That at least you give something, because Yudhishthira, he explained that I have to, as a Kshatriya, I have to rule, otherwise I can't do my dharma. So it was resolved that at least you give 5 villages, one for each of the Pandavas, so they can rule a little village. And Duryodhana famously said, I won't give them as much land as you can push a pin into, not even that much. But Krishna, he went as a peace envoy, and at that time, Satyaki accompanied him, and it was Satyaki who got wind of the idea that Duryodhana is going to try to capture Krishna, which is completely against the laws of dharma. Even today, if a peace envoy comes from one warring party to another, then he's allowed to come and go. Otherwise, there can be no suing for peace. If, of course, nowadays you could maybe do it by cell phone or something like that, but at some point the fighting has to stop, and if you don't want to fight down to the last man literally, which isn't a good policy, say two kings are fighting, and if they fight down to the last man, then okay, you may win, but who are you going to rule the country with? And then there's another king on the other side, right, who sees you weak, and they're just waiting, and then you have no. Then he comes and takes you over. So it's not a good policy to totally destroy your forces. So you have to have diplomacy at some point. At some point, a peace envoy has to come, and he has to be allowed to come and go. But Duryodhana, being Duryodhana, thought that, okay, let's capture Krishna. And then without Krishna, the Pandavas will lose all energy and all motive for living and for doing anything. So Satyaki got wind of this and informed Krishna. And then Krishna, when Duryodhana wanted him captured, Krishna, man, okay, let's get him. No, he's there. He's there. He's there. He's everywhere. He showed his many, many forms. A precursor to the universal form, showing to Arjuna. So how are you going to capture him? Capture him? Okay, I mean, he's there. He's there. He's everywhere. You can't capture him. Yeah, I said how he was fighting with all the big warriors, and apart from the big warriors, there were small warriors also. So after Bhima and Arjuna, Satyaki was the most destructive of all the fighters on the Vrishni or Yadava side. In the battle strategy, one fighter is pitched against another. So Satyaki was pitched for Kritavarma. They're both Yadavas, but they'd become, as fate would have it, they were pitted against each other. And yeah, Kritavarma was leading the forces of Krishna in the battle. And then on the other side, on Duryodhana's side, was Somadatta. Now, going back, way back, then Somadatta, he had been humiliated, if you remember, by Shini. And Burishrava, his son, who Somadatta's son, was born with the specific purpose of avenging the humiliation that Shini, the father of Satyaki, had inflicted on Somadatta. So Burishrava, he killed all of Satyaki's sons in the fight. This is Kshatriya life and death. But we'll get back to that a little later. So Burishrava literally means one who is much glorified. He was a good guy, actually. He ended up on the wrong side, but he was a great devotee of Krishna also. When Arjuna was out in the battlefield looking for Jayadratha on the 14th day, they're fighting for 2 weeks, and Arjuna has vowed to kill Jayadratha or himself die, then Yudhishthira sent Satyaki after Arjuna, saying that, well, Arjuna, he needs some help. So he sent Satyaki, the great warrior, Satyaki's Chaparajita, the undefeated Satyaki. So Satyaki, actually he's a greater fighter than Burishrava, but he was tired at that time, and Burishrava had this boon from Lord Shiva, which had been bestowed upon him by his father, and he managed to disarm Satyaki, and then he kicked him, which is a big insult. So the insult was, what's the word? It was, what's the word? Requited, something like that. I think requited is good enough. Tit for tat. They got even, yeah, to use more colloquial kind of English. But that's a big insult. I mean, just like if we see someone who's a famous fighter. Of course, Burishrava is also a famous fighter, but not on the level of Satyaki. So it's insult or humiliation. Sometimes it happens, I'm sure it must happen in your baseball and basketball and all this kind of thing, that a small team defeats a big team. Shock result. So I know from my childhood days of soccer that sometimes a big famous team is defeated by a little useless team who no one ever heard of. So it's a big humiliation for them. So it was a big humiliation for Satyaki. But Burishrava, he was about to, okay, so he's got Satyaki down on the ground without any weapons, and he's about to kill Satyaki. Then Arjuna, he's holding up his arm with his sword, and Arjuna, with his arrow from a distance, saw and cut off Burishrava's arm, which is unfair. You're not supposed to do that. You're fighting with one person, and someone else comes up who's not involved in the fight, and from behind, without any warning, chops or lops your arm off. So why was Arjuna out to get Jayadratha on this day? Because the day previously, Jayadratha, who himself is a minnow compared to all the Pandavas, getting a boon from Lord Shiva, which again, why he got the boon, he was himself insulted by the Pandavas when he wanted to steal Draupadi. So he got a boon from Lord Shiva that at least once he can defeat the Pandavas. So he did on the occasion that he can, when Arjuna was and others were coming to try to rescue Abhimanyu, who had entered the Chakravyuha. This word is still well known in Indian languages. If you get yourself into a fix, which you can't get out of, it's called, in colloquial Indian languages, it's called a Chakravyuha, coming from the Mahabharata incident. In Telugu also it must be, they say like that. So he'd got himself, Abhimanyu had got himself, and he was a better fighter than Arjuna. Can you imagine it? Just a young boy, 16 years old. Actually, he shouldn't even be there. He's too young to be on the battlefield. Child warrior. But he was so powerful. He was even more powerful than Arjuna. But it was already slated for him that he had to die early. That was already there. But not before making his wife pregnant. So he had his child, who was Abhimanyu Sutta, who was Parikshit, yeah. So Jayadratha was in that sense the cause of the unfair death of Abhimanyu, because all the big the Maharathis, Bhishma and Drona and Karna and several other, they all, only combinedly could they defeat and kill Abhimanyu. So when Bhurishrava protested that, hey, that's against dharma to chop off my arm like that. And Arjuna said, dharma, remember what you did yesterday? Remember why I'm chasing Jayadratha? Yeah, Bhurishrava was there also. He was one of them who was there in killing Abhimanyu. In the meantime, Satyaki, who was unconscious, he regained consciousness. Then he picked up a sword that was lying around on the battlefield, and well, Bhurishrava chopped off his head. Things are getting pretty nasty, right? You're not supposed to do that kind of thing. It all broke down. They were following the laws of dharma in fighting, and gradually it started to break down. It's on the 14th day now. Tempers and are worn down, and already they were angry, but it became no holds barred. And right at the end also, Duryodhana. And then the crowning non-glory was the end of the battle. They thought it was all over. When Ashvatthama, assisted by Kritavarma and Kripa, killed all the remaining warriors in their sleep, with the exception of just a few Pandavas and Satyaki, who weren't there in the camp. They thought it was all over, but it became very, very nasty. So Bhurishrava, who couldn't defend himself, he was beheaded, and everyone on both sides, including Arjuna, scolded Satyaki. But Satyaki said, no. I did the right thing, because I took a vow when I was being kicked that I'd cut off his head. Okay, well, it's too late now to discuss it. Note, on the battlefield, there's no time to discuss, right? Should we do this? Should we do that? While you're discussing, someone comes and kills you. So you have to keep on going. Yeah, so Satyaki, he was one of the few survivors, very few survivors. On the Pandava side, there were the five Pandavas, Satyaki, and just a handful of others among the fighters. And on the Kaurava side, I just said Ashvatthama, Kritavarma, Kripa. So after the battle was over, then Kritavarma came back to Dwarka and resumed his service. Of course, he didn't have an army to oversee because they were all killed on the battlefield, but he's still a big man, and Satyaki's a big man, but they didn't get on with each other that well after all of that. And these two, an argument between them became the cause of the destruction of the remaining Yadavas. When they went to Prabhas, seeing the inauspicious omens in Dwaraka, the leaders of the Yadavas, they all went to the holy place Prabhas. Of course, Dwaraka itself is a holy place. They went to Prabhas to do some sacrifices and give charity and this to the brahmanas. And then that was all done. And then in the meantime, there were Kritavarma, he made a remark to Satyaki about the way you killed Burishrava. Everyone's respecting you as a great hero. Not taking into account that he himself had been involved in the killing of all the warriors. We hear about, in the first canto of Bhagavatam, we hear about Draupadi, her sons being killed, and how she was so upset by that, and therefore she wanted Ashwatthama killed. But actually Ashwatthama killed many, many, many soldiers on the Kaurava side, in just when they were sleeping, which is about as bad as you can get, about as unmanly an act as possible. And then Satyaki, he retorted by mocking Kritavarma for being one in the group. It took a whole group of great fighters to kill one young boy, Abhimanyu. And this way they started arguing, and then they started fighting, and then different warriors started fighting, one on one side and one on the other. And they were all drunk, and then they all forgot who's who and what's what, and they all killed each other. So Satyaki was involved in that, but he didn't die in this. We hear in this very verse, which we're reading in the Bhagavatam, that he eventually went away, and he performed yoga meditation on Krishna and achieved his perfection like that. We may wonder, well, he's an eternal associate of Krishna, so why did he do all this yoga for purification? We see in many cases, we find in the Bhagavatam, kings who are clearly great devotees, but they take up, especially at the end of their life, purificatory processes for total purification. And we see many times it's said that by doing this they became freed of all material contamination. We think, well, wait a minute, they're eternal associates of the Lord. What contamination do they have? I was thinking some more about this Sneha Parshame Mang Chindi Dura Pandashu Vrishnishu. Kunti is praying to be free from that strong attachment she has to on both sides of her family. She's praying to Krishna so that her attention can be wholly and solely focused on Krishna. That very beautiful verse is there. Twaime nanya vishaya matir madhupate sakrut ratimad vahata data gangai vaugham udanvati. She prayed that may my attention flow to you, just like Ganga flows incessantly and very strongly toward the sea. So in this way, may my consciousness always flow toward you, Krishna. So we discussed that a little bit last time I gave a talk. But it may be that it's difficult to sort out what's what. Is my attachment to my family members because they're family members, or because they're devotees, or because if Kunti is attached to the Vrishnis and the Pandavas, well, that's great. That's what we want, right? We want to be attached to devotees. But she was feeling her attachment is in a mundane way. So it may be that even great devotees, they think, I want to get this clear now. It's not just from the point of dharma or the point of some mundane affection that I'm attached to these family members. Because for Kunti and Satyaki and all these, the devotees of Krishna, they're attached to them as family members, not wholly and solely because they're devotees of Krishna. And of course, it's all the same in Leela, but then again, it's taking place in the material world. So they want to make sure that it's all completely fixed on Krishna without...
Another reason that's given in the fourth canto, Maharaj Prithu, towards the end of his life, he performed the system of yoga.
And the Prabhupada states in the purport that he didn't have to do that, he just wanted to accelerate the process.
He wanted to accelerate the process.
Yeah.
Well, Prithu Maharaj, it said that he didn't need to do it, but he wanted to accelerate the process. And it also becomes an example for others, but what I'm seeing is that great devotees, they don't think they're great devotees, and they think, well, I have to do this. But at the same time, it sets an example for others. And I'm thinking also, what has this got to do with us here in this world today? Most of our devotees now in Srila Prabhupada's ISKCON, they're grihasthas, mostly of Indian background, and many of them, their children are devotees also, at some level or other. Yesterday, as usual, I had some devotees, Indian background, asking for blessings for their children. So I asked one then. So what blessing? They asked for blessings. So what blessing do you want? They said, well, for devotion. I said, you want him to be a pure devotee? He said, I'm not sure about that. At least he was honest. They used to say for pure devotion. At least now they recognize that we don't even want them to be pure devotees. But that's the problem. That devotion goes on, but at the same time there's the desire to enjoy this material world. And even if we're trying to be pure devotees and be non-attached from anything, then that tendency is there to be attached to our nation or our caste you have in India. Naturally, I would guess whatever caste you're from, Ramesh, Yeram, Sati, I wouldn't know. If it was something like Gupta or Sharma, I could say, but I have no idea of Telugu names. What caste is that, out of curiosity? Yeah, and that's a jati within, that's what, Kshatriya, Vaishya? One of the Shudra castes, okay. And then within Shudra you get all different levels also, right? Yeah. Only within that particular caste, you're saying? Within Shudras, Telugu Shudras, okay. But within that there'll be subcategories also, must be, yeah. Yeah. So that tendency, now why I'm bringing this up is, you will naturally relate much more easily, even with non-devotees. Say there's a group of non-devotees there, and you will naturally relate, even Telugu people, you'll naturally relate with people of your caste more easily, because it's the same kind of culture and psychological understanding and everything. Gokul Chandra in Salem, he told me once, there was some parents of one devotee, and they're Gujarati, and so he brought them to meet some other Gujaratis who are some rich donors and this and that. But he realized it was a mistake, because although they're all Gujarati, in South India you don't find so many Gujaratis, so he thought putting them together they'd get on with each other, but not at all, because they're a big, big caste difference. It's just like Telugu Brahmana can get on much better with a Tamil Brahmana, if they both speak English, which they almost all do, than with a Telugu Shudra. And even a Telugu Smarta can get on better with a Tamil Vaishnava Brahmana than with a Telugu Shudra. So it's just something which seems to be very strongly part of our identity and how we identify with ourselves. So Sneha Parsha Imang Chindi, that kind of attachment that we may have, when I was newly in India, I would generally get on very well with the Western devotees in India more than the Indian devotees in India, because we just culturally we could easily get on with each other. Yeah, you have to go on book distribution. Sorry, I won't delay you much longer. So that kind of a very subtle attachment may be there, even for the kind of food we eat and everything. So to get rid of all material attachments may be very, very difficult. Of course, Krishna tells Arjuna, who wanted to go away and become free of all material attachments, he said, no, you act as a kshatriya. That's what you're supposed to do. And remember me, mama nusmara, that comes first, and yudhyacha, and also fight. So there comes a time in one's life, there's a time in one's life when one is supposed to act according to your psychophysical makeup. And Krishna tells Arjuna twice in Bhagavad Gita, don't try to act like someone else. Act with the psychophysical makeup you've got and serve me. Don't try to act like someone else, which Arjuna wanted to do by leaving the battle. But there comes a time for the kshatriyas and the brahmanas especially, when they have to leave it all and make a break. Otherwise they're going to get born again, which I'm seeing now. Now, just like I was saying about the blessings, the devotees are setting themselves up to get born again because they want to be devotees remaining in their present attached position. And this way you can go on life after life after life. At some point you've got to cut it. Which point that will be, when that will be, generally in the Vedic system, it's toward the end of life. Although if you can do it at any time, it's good. But it may be for some, it's not even recommended to do it early. Because if you want to make a clean break and you're not ready for it, then it's going to be a big disaster, as we've seen several times, many times in our ISKCON movement. Men taking sannyas and they're not ready for it, and they make a big mess. Okay, you want to say something?
On the same topic, about the casteism. So I'm noticing especially where
those who are non-Indians or not like myself or Basu Ghosh, who spent most of our life in India, they won't have a clue about what we're talking about. It's just it's so foreign to the Western psyche and sociology, they can't even begin to understand what it's all about.
So,
although they used to be in the West, maybe not in America, but there used to be well, even now they talk about the upper class and the middle class and this and that. But it's not exactly the same.
There are caste. There is caste infiltrating into ISKCON too, especially in temples where there is a predominance of Indian bodies.
Yeah, like
Seattle,
will be there,
yeah. For example.
Yeah.
So that is one more layer of attachment. There's the class system and there's the caste system that's infiltrating ISKCON, unfortunately.
Yeah, I see among some devotees they're very much, I'm thinking of one in particular, of Brahmin background, who's from UP, so he's very open and welcoming to UP, Uttar Pradesh people in general, and particularly Brahmana background. We're going to have a reservation system in ISKCON. Hare Krishna. We'll finish there. You want to get on with your day? No. I also want to get on with my day. We should speak all the time about Krishna, but we also have other things to do. Hare Krishna. All glories to His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada, Srimad Bhagavatam Gijai. Hare Krishna. Vancha kalpa tarubhyas charkipa sindhubhya vichapadita nam bhavadebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Dante nidhaya chunakang padayoni patya kritvacha kaku shatam etad aham bravimi hei sadhava sakala eva vihaya durad goranga chandra charne kuruta parivadatu jano yata tata vana namo karuna vayo vicharyama hari rasamadhi ramadati vata bhuvi vidur kama natama nirvishma. Hare Krishna.
Kaswami Maharaj ki jai.